A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sin. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar.
That's the display department.
With a torch.
The lights are probably gone.
So had the stairs.
You are just number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 316. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and this time we are continuing our discussion about Him. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello.
Him was an ITV miniseries, 3 45-minute episodes from 2016. That introduced us to a teenager with strange powers, telekinetic powers, and the difficulties of life that he has with school and social life and dealing with family issues, all complicated by these powers that are generally tied to him being angry.
Yes, you wouldn't like him when he gets angry. Don't make him angry.
Absolutely.
So continuing, as we've said, we have a nameless protagonist known only as Him. We talked a little bit about the reasons for that in our last show and why it makes us slightly difficult for us to keep talking about him. But anyway, he is, as you say, flitting between two households because his parents are divorced and they are both creating new families. I believe blended families was the expression you used, Brian. And he's having troubles. He's trying to live with his mom and her new partner. He's also trying to, you know, visit his dad and his new wife without really feeling that he belongs in either home. He doesn't seem to be comfortable anywhere, to be honest. So it's a difficult time for this young man.
Yes, that's right. And his stepsister, Faith, his stepfather's daughter from a previous marriage, is sort of key to this and is going to school with him and being introduced to the other students. And we get this dynamic of what kind of relationship will he have with her. There is the sense of maybe there could be something romantic, but they don't, that she doesn't feel that that they can do that. And, you know, we get those kinds of complications happening.
We do indeed, because she is an attractive young teenager who, you know, is obviously of interest to other boys at her school, one of whom is one of the cooler kids at school, I suppose. And when our title character sees them in a coffee shop, it provokes one of his telekinetic meltdowns, I guess you would say, Brian. And yeah, this all leads his stepsister, Faith, to begin to wonder whether these things that she's witnessing are really accidents or whether, you know, he has got something to do with them. And meanwhile, in a sort of dramatic sequence, he has been with his therapist, and the therapist has finally realized that when he says he loses control, he doesn't mean an emotional outburst. He means he moves things with his mind, and he demonstrates this rather impressively for the therapist. So he quickly becomes a believer, Brian, and it's not long before the character is enrolled in some sort of almost like a lab rat experiments going on with a scientist who's trying to probe the limits of his powers.
Yes, and that clearly will not go well. But we also get this idea that he can use this telekinesis to a certain extent in a controlled way. But whenever he becomes angry, he not only loses control, but becomes really quite powerful with it. So we have an outburst at his dad's new wife, who really doesn't want him around outside of the official time that he's supposed to spend with his dad. When he gets angry. She's no longer in the room. He causes a great deal of damage, and there is a quite intense sequence there, and it has repercussions. And then again, seeing this this other teenage guy with his stepsister, there is something quite intense that he does, losing control there as well.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, dramatic stuff and some big set piece stunts as well. So, you know, gripping television in a way.
Yeah, the intensity of it is done quite well, I think.
So let's turn to the subject of troubled telekinetic teenage heroes. Although, as you suggested, the title character of this show is not always heroic. He, you know, he can use his powers for bad and for good. And we see a bit of both in this show. But we have this interesting idea that puberty might awaken some form of psychic ability. Now, I wondered if this dated back to Stan Lee and Jack Kirby's 1963 comic The X-Men, with his sort of then, as they were, teenage mutant characters who were being looked after in a school to help them deal with their powers. But I wondered if our listeners knew of any earlier examples I should be referring to, and perhaps people could tell me on the Facebook group. I'd like to hear that.
Yes, that is definitely an early example of that idea. We had an example from about 10 years later with the Tomorrow People, which we covered a number of years ago now, and it dealt with, like the X-Men, the idea of people evolving into the next thing, starting with adolescence. And in the case of Tomorrow People, it was Homo Superior, and the young adolescents had the guidance from this alien supercomputer, Tim, and from various alien things, and from some more established Homo Superior from Earth. So unlike him, they had a lot of support and were able to move into sort of a more established situation rather than just being this troubled teenager.
Yes, for him, there is no supercomputer with a very kindly and reassuring voice, I'm afraid, is there, Brian?
That's right.
And in the Tomorrow People, was it called, did they call it Breaking Out or something like that for when teenagers started to develop their powers?
I believe they did. That's right.
And of course, as we talked about last time, this is famously seen in Stephen King's novel Carrie. And of course, the Brian De Palma film that was very successfully made of it, where again, we have a teenager and it's, I think, very directly linked to her sort of starting puberty and then developing telekinetic powers. And there's another teenager with troubles and with family difficulties. So interesting stuff. And of course, the writer of this series, Paula Milne, did definitely cite Carrie as an influence when she was creating this show.
Yes, that's right. And I think we can say for all of these that there is some allegory and some metaphor there for adolescence in general and people changing as they reach that stage and struggling with these things. It sort of gives you a nice allegory and metaphor for that. And there are also references to things like people discovering their own sexual orientation around that time in many cases. So there is a lot of allegory in all of these kinds of shows that points to some of those things.
Yes. I mean, as you say, it's very clear sort of connection between, you know, the troubles of adolescence and then what would happen if you added in telekinetic powers or something like that. Yeah, interesting stuff.
Yeah, if these changes were even bigger and more profound and something we could see differently in these sorts of dramas.
And I suppose, you know, which adolescent hasn't wondered or wished they'd had some form of secret power that they could help them, you know, fit in or do horrible things to some of the people that annoy them, whatever. I guess it's, you know, it's something that might occur to us in our teenage years.
Yes, I suppose that's right, too. To mention another show or two, we discussed Misfits quite a while ago, which has this sort of X-Men style thing with different people acquiring different powers and at that young age, with some different elements there as well. But that was done as more of a black comedy and sort of looking at the idea of often in the superhero shows, the superpowers go to the good people who are mostly deserving of it. Well, this is more, what if they went to the people that you don't want to have it? In this case, people who were doing community service for petty crimes and they're scenes. So that was another take on that, but with a more sort of action show black comedy kind of mix.
Yeah, so that was a fun show to talk about, Misfits. And I'm sort of amazed, really, if you look back, the number of shows that we've now covered on British Invaders. As you say, it's quite some time since we talked about the Tomorrow People, but there you go. And Misfits was very interesting. I note, I mean, again, at the time of recording, from Misfits, the rather sort of colourful, charming actor Robert Sheehan is now on Netflix's The Umbrella Academy, playing another sort of eccentric and colourful character in another family with problems. But another career move for one of our British Invaders actors.
Yes, always interesting to see that.
And I'll perhaps just mention in passing the show that we covered called The Fades, a quite different power set for the teenager in that show. You know, the ability to see, I guess, dead people or spirits. A show that I seem to remember launched Daniel Kaluuya onto our screens.
Yes, I think that's right. Certainly a very early one for him. And yeah, so that was an interesting show as well, although a little different from some of the others. But we do have these ideas of teenagers in adolescence acquiring powers and changing in this way that sort of reflects the way that people do change around that time in certain ways.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as we've said, it is troubled teenagers with telekinetic powers. It almost sounds like a superhero team in itself.
Indeed. So we should get into some of our own thoughts on this. Eamon, what did you like about him?
Well, the stuff to like about him is, I think, linked to the fact that it is a modern show. So it looks great. The production values are fantastic. And of course, we've been able to watch it in a thoroughly modern way by both streaming it on different services either side of the pond. So in terms of the look and feel and sound of the production, it really can't fault it at all. It looks great, I think, Brian.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I thought the performances in this were also quite strong. There's a sense to me that they're very much committed performances, that they're really going for these characters and, you know, really went with the emotions of it. So I quite like the performances.
Yes, they're all pretty good. I mean, you know, I would shout out to the actors who play both sets of sort of parents and step-parents, who I think are pretty good, particularly the, you know, the character's dad, who's this rather obnoxious surgeon, and his wife, his new wife, who really does have no time at all for you know, her husband's son from another marriage. So I thought they were very good. Simona Brown is very good as the stepsister as well, particularly as she starts to work out what's going on with him. And then, of course, we've got Finn Whitehead in the title role. Not dissimilar to how we've seen him more recently in Bandersnatch, I guess, Brian.
Yeah, a little bit like that. I think the title role in this, it's a tough role, I think. You know, there's a lot going on with this character. He is both at the center of things and also the one with the most intense emotional things going on. And it's a teenage character, so that's quite a bit to ask of a fairly young actor. And I thought he did quite well with this. I thought he was always quite compelling and watchable.
Yeah, interesting stuff. And of course, it is, as we've said, it's a family drama in a way. So this isn't going to be a story of a teenager who, you know, puts on a costume and decides to fight crime or meets up with a gang of or a group of other teenagers with similar abilities. you know, it's going to lead to a very different and perhaps slightly unusual ending, which I will ask you about maybe in a moment, Brian. But, you know, there is a lot of family stuff to get through. As I say, the clashes with both sets of parents and step-parents. Maybe only his grandmother has been a sympathetic ear who can understand him, the place where he perhaps gets a better and a more kinder, gentler approach. So, you know, we do have to deal with, as I suppose, although it's a show about a guy with powers, it's a very much a show about modern life, modern families, the difficulties of being a teenager and having to put up with all this stuff while still trying to carry on with school and form social, you know, relationships and so on. There's a lot of stuff in there, I guess, Brian.
So what did you think of the sort of family drama aspect and having all of the different parents and step-parents and step-siblings galore and so on?
Well, I have to say that I found it a little bit soap opera-ish, which is this phrase that I've used a couple of times for this show. You know, I did want to see a bit more about what was happening with the title character. And I suppose, let's be honest, I wanted to see him use his powers a bit more often. It is kept, you know, fairly reserved for, as I say, there's a couple of big set pieces. There's a few little tricks he does. There's one, I suppose, very sort of impressive sequence in a hospital where, you know, what he's actually doing, we can't actually see. We see the results of it, but we don't exactly know how he's doing it. So I suppose I wanted a bit more of that and a bit less of the family crisis, I'm afraid, Brian.
Okay, that's fair enough. I enjoyed some of the family stuff that was in there. I like the decisions about having this sort of modern situation with the divorce and both parents having remarried, both parents having had children with their new partners, and one of the step-parents having a child from an earlier relationship who's his age. There is a mixed race marriage in there as well. So having all of those complexities in there, I thought that was interesting. I quite enjoyed that, and I like that as a method for putting him into this sort of emotional tension and for things to be difficult for him because he has this complicated blended family that he's living with, and he has the father's new wife sort of pushing him away and telling him not to keep showing up when he wants to interact with his younger half-brother on that side of the family, and the mother of his half-brother is pushing him away and doesn't want him to interact with that character. So seeing those kinds of things, I thought that was a good way and an interesting way of bringing him into this emotional turmoil.
Okay. I know one of the phrases I've used in our outline is more soap than super. And I guess what the writer Paula Milne has done is give us a very realistic look at what might actually happen if a teenager could do these things with his mind. And as I say, he probably wouldn't go off and fight crime. He probably would say, I don't like my wicked stepmother, so I'm going to flood her house. And I don't like the cool, smart guy who's making moves on my stepsister, so something bad's going to happen to him. I guess, you know, that's probably what a teenager would actually do.
Yeah, certainly one under this much emotional strain. And I think it was also sort of Paula Milne, the writer and creator of this, it was definitely part of the premise for her that it should be this sort of more modern situation involving the divorce and remarriages, that this was something that in many of those earlier shows that we talked about, we just didn't see that kind of thing. And seeing it in here was part of what she was trying to do with it. So it's interesting. I think it's an interesting thing to be able to do with newer shows that we haven't seen as much in the past.
Okay. What about, without giving it away, because we do try hard not to spoil endings on the show, but the ending of this series caught me by surprise, let's put it that way. I wasn't expecting that at all. Did you find the ending, shall I say, satisfying, Brian?
It's an interesting one because it is an odd ending, and I will, spoiler alert, I won't spoil it entirely, but rather than going to the big thrilling conclusion where you get the biggest incident of them all and an ending either well or ending poorly, they didn't go for that. They went for the ending where he has the self-awareness, he gains the self-awareness, partly through his stepsister, to be able to say, no, I can't be in this situation, and to be able to step aside and avoid the situation altogether. And I thought that was really interesting, and it was a bold choice. But there is also an element to it that is not as satisfying as the big thrilling conclusion would be.
Okay.
I have mixed feelings on that.
Yeah, so my feelings are very mixed as well. But okay, we'll get to that again in a moment. But yeah, it's an unusual ending, as I say, was a bit of a surprise. I would point out in the plus column that it is, as I say, very easy to watch on the streaming sites and very, I think, reasonably priced for a three-part show. So that is definitely in its advantage. And as you've said, Brian, this hopefully is the way with modern shows that we will be able to watch them more easily and reasonably priced as they are released.
I would hope so. I also found this compelling enough that watching the three episodes in one evening was something that I found quite easy. I found it went quite well.
Okay. You could get through the whole, what was it, 3 times 45 minutes. So yes, a lengthy movie maybe.
Yeah. So what do you have in the more, beyond what we've gotten to, what do you have on the more negative side?
I guess that's it, really. I guess it's just that I found it slightly dull and I wasn't quite as compelled by the family drama aspects of it as you were. I wanted to get on to more of the action sequences. Maybe I wanted the misfits in their orange jumpsuits. That's possibly what I wanted. You know, seeing the difficulties of a teenager dealing with modern life, I suppose it is compelling, actually, in a way, because, you know, we think about the difficulties younger people are experiencing in the 21st century. It's quite sort of, there's a lot on their plates. And of course, there's much worse for this particular character because he has this power that he is scared of, because when he gets angry, he does bad things. So, but yeah, I did find a lot of that stuff a little bit slow and dull for me. And I particularly found the sort of middle, as ever, the middle third dragged. And I wanted to get on to the conclusion. What about yourself? Any negatives that we haven't already mentioned?
Not a lot. I do have sort of, as I said, mixed feelings about the ending. In some ways, I found that less compelling than the rest of it. And in other ways, I found it was interesting and sort of a different take on things that we don't see very often. I do think, as we said, I found it compelling and easy to watch. I'm glad they did this as a few episodes rather than an ongoing series. I don't think this would work as well as an ongoing series. I think what Misfits, for instance, had was a lot more capable of sustaining it for a longer show.
Yes, had a lot more characters, as you say, a lot more interest, a certain degree of backstory to be worked out as things developed. So, yeah. Okay, interesting comparison.
Okay, so shall we go to recommendations?
I think we should. Shall I kick us off?
Absolutely.
So I had, as people can tell, some problems with him. I found it a bit dull. I would say that in the, you know, major recommendations is it is so cheap and easy to get hold of and watch. So I'm a bit cautious about this one. I would say if what we've talked about, you can deal with the family drama and the telekinetic teenager, then I would say definitely check it out for as little as $4.99 streaming over here. So it's good value. But I was a little bit sort of struggling with the family stuff myself. So it's a sort of thumb half down from me. But across the pond in Canada, Brian?
I will give this a recommendation. It's not a really strong must-see recommendation, but definitely I would recommend this. I found it a good entertaining watch. I did enjoy the sort of modern style family things. And the way they dealt with the telekinesis and the powers in this, I thought that that worked well. So yeah, I will recommend this.
Okay, interesting stuff. Do weigh in on the Facebook group and let us know what you thought about him. Do let me know if there's earlier examples of telekinetic teens that predate the X-Men. And let us know what you thought, perhaps, I suppose, of Finn Whitehead, and particularly as we've seen him quite recently in Bandersnatch. So come along and join in the fun.
Yes, absolutely. So, in summary, him brought us a main character whose name we never hear, who is a 17-year-old adolescent and is going through emotional tension and the normal problems that we would associate with adolescents that are exasperated by his parents' divorce and both parents remarrying, and tension with a number of the characters with the parents and step-parents and half-siblings and step-siblings, all of this going on, and of course the powers of telekinesis that he has, which he can control in small ways, but often cannot control when he gets angry, and serious problems and things that he doesn't really want to do happen when he gets angry. And we have all of these emotional issues and all of this coming through to what will be an unusual sort of different approach of a conclusion for a show of this sort.
There we go. Neatly summarized, Brian. So next time, do come and join us, because we are putting on both our clever and our handsome heads to examine the delights, or maybe for a few episodes, the nightmares of John Pertwee as Wurzel Gummidge. This is one I've been looking forward to for some time, Brian.
Yes, we're going back to a real classic of British television from the late 70s and early 80s, for sure.
Oh, Wurzel, 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 as Nick Briggs is fond of saying.
Yes, indeed. So until then, you can find us on BritishInvaders.com with all of our past episodes, including some of the shows that we've mentioned covering in the past. And we also have a Facebook group, so if you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you can find us there. We have all sorts of discussions, and I'm sure we'll be talking about some of these issues with teens and powers and so on.
Yes, and come and find us also on the Voice of Geeks Network, British Invaders, proud a member of that network. Find out everything you need to know at vognetwork.com. That's vognetwork.com.
Yes, indeed. So thank you for listening, and this is Brian from Canada signing off.
Yes, thank you very much. Until next time, it's Eamon in England saying, actually, Brian, I've got a bit of a nosebleed starting.